But when it came time to dealing with people, you'll find that he treated everyone according to how they're supposed to be treated. So when it came to a serious time when he had meetings with the chiefs of the different tribes, or he had some delegations coming to him, then you'll find him very serious, very diplomatic. And when he enters his house, then his whole demeanor changes. Now you'll find him that he is very soft-natured, very easygoing. So even like that with the children, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's whole demeanor, his whole attitude was according to how a child supposed to be treated. It's once narrated regarding the brother of Hazrat Anas radiallahu an, Anas bin Malik radiallahu an. He, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to Medina Munawwara, Hazrat Anas radiallahu an's mother brought him. He was just 10 years old at that time. And she said that, this son of mine, I'm leaving him in the service of you. Whatever you need, whatever at night, whatever you need, whether it's the prayer mat or do, this child will be in your service. So Hazrat Anas radiallahu an was in the service of radiallahu an's brother. He had a younger brother. And he used to have a pet bird which he used to play with. So one day Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to him and he sees that this bird is not anymore by this child, and he sees this child is very sad and looking distressed. So he asked, what happened to the bird? He asked someone. They said, no, his bird died. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tried to cheer him up. And he addressed him and he said, Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'al al-Nughair. That, oh Abu Umair, they used to call these terms for someone who has a child, a person. Generally, when they used to have a child, then they used to have a nickname. They used to call them by their child's, first child's name. So they say the father of so-and-so. And this child, obviously not a father of anyone, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tried to cheer him up. He says, oh, the father of Umair. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rhymed those words. He said, what happened to that bird, Nughair? So he rhymed the words Umair and Nughair just to cheer him up a little bit. It is mentioned regarding Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, another incident that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had many wives, we know, and these wives were previously married. So one of the wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was Umm Salama radiallahu anha, and she was married to Abu Salama radiallahu an, and they had a child, Umar bin Salama. So when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam married Hazrat Umm Salama radiallahu anha, then this child, Umar bin Salama radiallahu an, also came into the care of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So one day while he was eating, and we know children, they have to be taught manners of eating, mannerisms of eating. So this child was putting his hands everywhere on the plate. Now when you're eating with a group of people, the etiquette is to eat what's in front of you. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed him, his, not his biological child, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had so much care, so much attention he took into nurturing the child in a good way. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, Ya Ghulam, he addressed him by the name, O Ghulam, O child, Sammillah, take the name of Allah, wa kul mimma yaleek, and eat that which is in front of you. So Hazrat Umar bin Salama radiallahu anhu says that, from that day, I didn't eat except how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught me. Because of the way Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam treated him. Another incident mentioned regarding Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one day he came out, and he came out one of his grandchildren, one of his grandsons, and it was a time of Salah, so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam proceeded to perform the Salah. Now whilst he was performing the Salah, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum noticed that he prolonged his sajda, and he prolonged in such a lengthy way that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum began to get worried now. So one of the Sahabis, they just picked up their head a little to see if everything is fine. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, okay, and he put his head back down. Eventually, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam finished the Salah. Then the Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked him that, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, oh, Ya Rasulullah, we have noticed that today you have prolonged the sajda. Has something happened? Did wahi come down? Or were you worried that something could have happened to you? He said, no, that my grandson was busy playing on my back. So I let him finish what he was busy doing, and then I continued afterwards. Showing the consideration for each person Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had, and especially the young. So the second part of the hadith, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَلَمْ يُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا. We will also be dealing and interacting with seniors and elders, parents, uncles, during this period of holiday. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the person who doesn't have mercy for the young amongst us is not from amongst us, and the one who doesn't honor and show respect to the elders from amongst us, such a person is not truly from amongst us. So we should consider and be very considerate when it comes to the seniors and elders amongst us, especially our parents and uncles, grandparents. We should be in their service. We should try to serve them at all times and be ready for their khidmat. So such a person, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَلَمْ يُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا وَيَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Even though this person is such a person, such a good person who is making amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar, is such a person which is giving da'wat, he is promoting good and forbidding evil. But such a person who doesn't have these qualities in him, then he is truly, not truly from amongst us, not from amongst the believers. He has some deficiency in him. And also this time in which we will find ourselves where people get very laid back and they relax. Well, relaxing is not a bad thing, but sometimes the boundaries of Sharia are transgressed. Then such a time will be a bad time, or such a resting will be a bad resting. And if a person gets so laid back that he begins to forego the teachings of deen, when it's salah time, now the person is on holiday, now maybe he's busy involved with the bride, and he forgoes his salah. So such an activity will become a bad activity. We should never let ourselves, our guards down, because our two enemies are never resting, which is shaitan and nafs. Shaitan and nafs are such enemies which even the greatest person, they can destroy them in a moment. There's an incident mentioned regarding a pious monk in the time of the Banu Israel. This person was the most pious person of his time. And he used to worship Allah Ta'ala in his monastery day and night. He wasn't married, he didn't have any family members. He just sits whole day, devoted and worshipping Allah Ta'ala day and night. So there were three brothers who had to respond to the call of war. And they had a young sister who used to reside with them. So now, thinking where they're going to leave their sister, no one's there to look after their sister, they decided that why don't we leave her in the care of the most pious person. I'm sure he will be the right fit to look after her. So they go to this person and they say that we are going out to war and we need you to look after our sister, if you can help us. Immediately he said, A'udhu Billah, I cannot do such a thing. How can you ever think of such a thing? And after some time, the thought crossed his mind. Obviously, Shaitan put the thought in his mind that why don't you look after her? Because you're the most honest person here. Imagine if she goes into someone else's care, what will happen? So eventually he tells the brothers that, okay, I will look after her, but leave her in this house next to my monastery, separate from me, because I don't want to have any contact with her. So she comes in, she moves into the house, and initially in the beginning, now to feed her, he leaves a plate of food at his doorstep. She comes out of the house when he's not there. She collects the food, goes back in, and leaves the plate empty, and he collects the plate afterwards. So there's no contact between them. But now Shaitan plays his tricks. He comes to him and he says that, you leaving the food out there, what if someone else sees her while she's walking up and down? They can end up doing something. So eventually he starts leaving the food at her doorstep now. And it continues like this until Shaitan comes back to him and says that, what if someone sees her then? So Shaitan tells him that, why don't you take the food at least and go into the house and just leave it on one corner? So he starts doing that without any context though. He goes in the house, she's not there, she's in the room. He leaves it on the table and walks out without speaking to her, without seeing her. Some time goes on like this, and eventually Shaitan comes back to him and says that, you're doing this for so long and she's been there for so long alone. Why don't you just talk to her a little bit, just to give her company? She must be very lonely, very sad. So he goes on and does that. During the day he talks to her a little bit, he goes back, he does his ibadah, he carries on. Eventually it comes to a point where Shaitan talks him into committing zina with her, and she becomes pregnant and gives birth to a baby boy. Now he's in a problem. So Shaitan comes back to him and tells him that, see what you have done. Now, what the people are going to say about you? You have to end up killing this child. So he goes and kills this child. Shaitan comes back to him. Shaitan doesn't want to leave him. He comes back and he says that, you kill the child. Do you think that the mother is just going to let you kill a child and you're going to get away with it? So he says that now you have to kill the mother also and bury the mother where you bury the child. So he kills both of them. He digs a hole near the house where she was staying and he buries them there and he puts a rock over the place to conceal it. So after some time now, the brothers come back. And when they come back, they come to this monk and he informs them that she was sick, she fell ill and she ended up passing away. And he also pointed out a fake grave to the sister. So these brothers are heartbroken, but they accept it. That night when they go sleep, Shaitan comes in their dream. In each one of their dreams. And he tells that the monk has been lying to you. He ended up killing your sister and this is where she's buried. And you need to go and search for it. Search for the body. So all three brothers wake up in the morning and they discuss. They said, we had a strange dream. Each one narrates the same dream. They said, something must have happened here. And when they go and look at the grave where the monk pointed out, they find it's empty. Then they come by the house and they remove the rock and they find that the mother is buried with a child over there. So now they come to the monk and they ask what happened. Eventually he has to give in. He explains exactly what happens. So now they take the monk to the judge and the decision is given that he needs to be executed. But Shaitan doesn't stop there. He wants to destroy you completely. So Shaitan comes now in a normal form. All this while he was coming and giving thoughts, but now he comes in a human form and he comes to this person and says that I am the one that put you into this position. I am the only one that can save you and take you out from here. All you need to do is you need to bow down to me and prostrate to me and forsake Allah and I will save you. So this monk, he puts his head down and as soon as he prostrates to Shaitan flees from there and this person is executed and he lost his iman. So Shaitan and nafs are never at rest. We can be at rest, we can be in a relaxed mood, but Shaitan and nafs are never in a relaxed mood. They're always looking out how they can take the person. If initially it'll start as a good thing. Shaitan doesn't just go and tell you. Imagine if he told his monk that you need to go and you need to take this lady and have zina with her and kill her immediately. But he made it look like it's sweet. Slowly, he makes you look like you're doing something good, and eventually it goes from there, and he ends up catching you. So as I mentioned, this time is this period is known as a silly season for a certain reason, because some people, they just go silly. They just all the time partying, drinking, have no control over themselves. But we as believers, we need to control ourselves. We need to always be on guard. Yes, we can wind down a little, we can relax a little, we can enjoy with our families, but when it comes to the time of salah, we need to be there for salah. When it comes to the time to fulfill Allah Ta'ala's commandments, if we are transgressing, we need to step up and say, this is transgression of Allah Ta'ala's commandments, and we need to put a stop to it. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for everyone, the students that are writing matric. May Allah Ta'ala make the examinations and the results successful. It's going to be a very stressful time after they write till they receive the results. And may Allah Ta'ala make each and every one of them be an asset to the Ummah. And may Allah Ta'ala protect us and the entire Ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam around the globe, especially those that are suffering in Gaza. As we know, these people are making peace treaties, they are ceasefires, but they are breaking it. So we don't know when it's going to end. Allah Ta'ala make ease in their plight and save the entire Ummah.